back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I'm a dog person. If you're a dog person, you know what I'm talking about. When I say I'm a dog person, I think it says something about you. Is Dan Lanning a dog person? Dan Lanning, did you grow up with a dog?
You're going to be so disappointed. I am not. I mean, I grew up in the country where you you put out a bucket, like a 5 gallon bucket of water, and you put out like a big bucket of dog food, and then the dog hung out outside. He didn't come inside. He's like kind of a part livestock, part dog. You know what I mean? So I was good with that. But no, we don't have any dogs. We don't have any cats. We're not really pet people. We got 3 kids. That's enough.
See, we only had an acre. You were on like 5.5. We had outside dogs too, and it confused me when people had their dogs inside because I didn't understand what they were doing. I was like, that dog comes in the house? And we had the same thing. The dog slept like outside or in the garage, and that was it.
Really cold. You open the garage up, put a couple towels down. Exactly. Now my mom, when I got older, she got like a Yorkshire Terrier, like a little barking dog. But I wouldn't say that I was ever really keen to that.
I noticed the kids are now wearing jerseys that have Lanning on the back of it. That's an upgrade.
Is that new? Is that different?
I think it is, because I think they were wearing like other players. I talked to you about this once. You don't remember our conversations because you have too many interviews. But the kids were wearing like a Jackson Powers Johnson jersey, like years ago. But it seems like they got their own jerseys now. Like that, grandma or grandpa probably did that.
Kudos. That's got to be kudos to Kenny Farr, the best equipment manager in the nation. That's got to be Kenny that pulled that off. But I'm gonna take your word for it. I didn't recognize it.
Okay. when you let's say you open your drawer at home, I gotta think you just have like all duck stuff. Like, how do you? Because you can have an unlimited supply of it. Like, how do you decide what you're keeping and what you don't want to wear? How does that go with your wardrobe?
I like what's comfortable, right? I'm kind of a routine guy. Like, I kind of wear some of the same sort of stuff every single day, and you probably don't see me in polos very often. So usually when I get a polo, I'm like, okay, save that. We can give that to somebody, things like that. I mean, every once in a while I might wear one, but I kind of wear the same things. And I also think like once you kind of identify what you wear, that's kind of what you get, right? Like a lot of long sleeve tees, hoodies every once in a while, but I get some extra stuff. Sophie and I kind of pull our stuff, and when people come to games, I always just tell them, I hope you're an XL. If you're an XL, you can wear all. We got a lot of stuff for you. If not, then I don't necessarily have a ton of gear for them.
You're watching film. You're watching Oregon State. What do you see?
Yeah, a team that has an identity. I think Coach Bray does a great job coaching those guys. Obviously, he's already close to the program already, but it reminds me a lot of previous Oregon State teams. A team that runs the ball well, is able to take shots. They still have elements of trick plays, just like they have in the past. They play well on special teams. They're sound on defense. I mean, it's a good football team.
They are getting into favorable down and distance on third down. What do you call that in football?
They're in third on schedule.
Staying
on schedule, right? Right. They're not in second and 10, and because they're not in second and 10, they're in second and 5, and because they're in second and 5, they can get to third and 2, right?
Yeah, I was looking at their down and distance in that San Diego State game, and it was third and 1, third and 1, third and 2, third and 3. And, they're 7th in the country on third down conversions, and I'm like, "Oh, that's why." Because that is a manageable thing, and you probably know you can go for it on fourth if you don't get it on third and you're in that situation, but are they any different to you? Like, would you see differences with a Trent Bray team versus Jonathan Smith, or does it kind of just look like they continued their identity?
Well, I think there's certain differences. I think it's also probably too early right now to say what are those differences, but there are some, a little bit different flavors on offense, a couple things that are different, maybe a little more gun game than, out of the gun game than under center. But altogether, there's a lot of similarities still. Maybe a little bit more of a variation of defense, than they've had in the past. But yeah, I'd say it looks similar in a lot of ways.
I'm going to throw a theory at you. You tell me if I'm full of it or if I'm astute. I'm paying attention. Is there something to, you've got some transfers. It takes time for guys to gel. We're watching, you know, a band of transfers who maybe have been with the program a few months play against some teams in Idaho and Boise State who have had guys that have played together for several seasons. Is there anything to that in what we're seeing on game day with you guys?
Well, that sounds like a cop-out to me, doesn't it?
I don't know. I mean, is there a reality? In college basketball, it happens. You see, like, some of the mid-majors that have older players beat teams that have higher recruited players who are young?
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's some truth to it, but that just sounds like an excuse to me, right? Like, we don't get the luxury of excuses. Like, go perform. Go do your job, right?
Look like you found something in the third quarter with shuffling the guard and the center around. And what went on there? What personnel-wise, what were you guys doing? Tinkering with something? Or do you think you found something there?
Well, we actually did it earlier in the game as well. We came into the plan knowing that we were going to try a couple different looks, you know, on the offensive line until we can find a rhythm. And then I thought we also just made a commitment to running the ball a little bit better also in that quarter. I don't know if we committed to running it as well.
Yeah.
In the first half, you know, and part of that goes back to being on schedule, like you just talked about with Oregon State. You know, when you get a penalty and it's first and 15, you know, as opposed to first and 10 or second and 13 instead of second and 5, right? That's going to limit your ability to run the ball well because you're kind of playing behind the chains. So I think it was just more of that, a commitment to really, you know, stay on schedule, eliminate negative plays, and we still had some. You know, so there's still some room for improvement there. But we saw a couple different groups on the offensive line. And I think the longer we'll play, the closer we'll have continuity. But, you know, we did some of that here in the past. Every year I've been here, we've had some rotation there with guys that we think can play winning football, and I think we're still figuring out what that looks like and how that looks.
The what's your peeve, the penalty that irks you the most? You know, you get flagged for something. What's the one where you go, we can't have that one?
Yeah, any post-snap, you know, or pre-snap penalty. Like, penalties of aggression that happen within the play, you know, sometimes I can understand that because you ask these guys to play the game a certain way. But a post-snap unnecessary roughness or pre-snap penalty because of, you know, poor execution of an assignment or alignment, you know, those to me are really frustrating. You know, I think those are selfish penalties that you have to eliminate.
You asked me a great question about, like, you know, on radio, how someone gets in my ear or I'm talking to you, or, you know, how do I manage that? And then, you know, I was asking you about the communication you have with your guys on the field. I want to ask you too, like, we hear that football is a simple game, you know, you block, you tackle, but it feels incredibly complex when we start getting in the weeds about personnel and reads. And is it a simple game still, or has the game become more complex, and does it require these guys to think more? You tell me what you've seen in your career coaching.
I would say it's a really simple game that coaches like myself and others, we make it really, really complicated because we spend a lot of time on the details, right? And the details, the minute details that create success, whether it's a one-inch step, one direction, or it's eye placement, or it's recognizing, you know, an opponent's front or, you know, offensive set. You know, those minute details are where it becomes complicated, but it still becomes, you know, about simple execution, still the part that matters.
The practice days of the week, not game day, because you're always going to love game day. But what's your favorite practice day? Is it a Monday, Tuesday? What's your favorite day?
Good question. Probably a Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, I enjoy those days the most.
Why?
Those are the most physical practices for us. The most intense practices, the most physical practice, the longest practice. I enjoy being on a practice field. You know, those are fun. But you can see some shots in practice, some guys, you know, banging on each other and executing the plan and getting better, you know.
I like how you gave me a good question there. I appreciate that, because I think sometimes there's dumb questions, right? If I ask a dumb question, I want you to tell me, like, hey, that's a dumb question. Bad take.
Yeah,
it's okay to give me that.
I'll definitely do that. If you give me one, don't worry.
You know what I'm doing right now? I'm watching Sopranos again. went back to the beginning, started over. You ever do that? Do you go back? Like, is there a show you want to do that with in the off season?
Narcos would probably be the one. I thought Narcos was really good. Ooh. What do you think of the ending of Sopranos?
It's too controversial. I need something more. I need to know what happened. I don't need you to leave it up to me. That's your job as the show. The writers of that show and the actors should have told me what happened. They shouldn't leave an interpretation. This is not art. Like, you tell me, did he die? What do you think happened?
I mean, yeah, definitely, right? But you wish, I'm with you. I wish they would just tell us.
Just tell us. Put on a song, make me guess, and now I got to go to work and talk to people and ask, you know, people who don't know. Yeah, I don't need to do that.
Well, it was the goal for us to keep talking about it, because here we are several years later. Still
I know. But you know, that show holds up. I'm watching it like, those Paulie, come on. Silvio, it just holds up. I don't know. Maybe it's the Italian in me, but I like those guys. I like those mobsters. I'm rooting for them.
No doubt. No doubt. Best mob movie of all time. What is it?
Godfather 2 is what you're going to say.
No, that's not what I'm going to say.
What are you going to say?
That's good, though. Casino, probably.
Okay. All right. Why do you like Casino?
Road to Perdition. Road to Perdition's a little bit of a different one, too. But, I mean, Godfather 2 is great, no doubt.
You have dark taste.
Why Casino? Why Casino? I mean, part of it's about Kansas City a little bit. So I kind of like that part, you know. Started with the Kansas City mob a little bit. So, but beyond that, I just think it's a good movie.
How are you feeling? You know, you've had multiple civil wars. You're approaching this thing, and there's such a thing as too much emotion. I was talking about this earlier. With, you know, you want your guys to be focused but hyped, right? You want emotion to be part of the game. You want your guys to play violently and with some passion and emotion, but not so much so that they're making mistakes. How do you manage that as a coach, or is that something individuals have to manage themselves?
No, I mean, I think that's part of our job, of trying to have a pulse on where guys are at, and then try to light a fire when it's necessary, or, you know, calm them down when necessary. But that's also each individual player's, you know, job too, to make sure that they're in the right headspace and spot to perform the way they need to perform. So that's part of the fun of coaching, right?
Does the game feel long to you when you're out there coaching a game, or does it happen and you go, man, where did it go?
I've been a part of both. Yeah, I've been a part of both. Been days where it's like, man, this is long, get me off the field. And then, man, it feels like we're just getting started. So, yeah, I've experienced all of those.
Is there a reason why it feels long, or, you know, is it because, you know, people are throwing the ball too much, or is it the flow of the game? What makes a game feel long or short?
Yeah, a combination of the number of plays within a game, right, which usually happens because the ball's getting thrown, or, like, let's say you're getting your ass kicked, right, and you're like, gosh, get me off this field, right? Those can be really long games sometimes.
Right.
Been a part of a few of those. And then vice versa, you know, you get to give it to somebody and you're like, all right, let's get this thing rolling. So I've experienced them all.
All right. Good luck to you Saturday. I'll see you at the stadium. I appreciate you coming on with us. You have any questions for me before you go?
I like this new tradition. What's for dinner tonight?
I have not been outside. I have been focused on all this Pac-12 stuff that's going on. That starts for me at like 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, this nonsense. I don't know what's going on in the world. My family might have gone on vacation. I don't even know what happened. But that is a question I have to answer later. But I would go for, like,
no plan right now.
Nope. I there probably is a plan that I'm not aware of, but I don't know if
that's in charge of the plan.
Not in charge of the plan. I would like to go for, like, my grandmother's spaghetti sauce tonight, and red sauce, spaghetti, maybe Italian sausage with it. That is what I'm in the mood for. What's for dinner tonight for you?
That great question, and I'm also not in charge of that, so we will see. I would definitely be down for a Cambodian dish tonight if Sophia felt like, you know, coming up with something. But we'll see. We'll see what the plan of attack is. Titan has football practice, so first, you know, we're gonna run them over there and check that out, and then we'll see what's up and rolling whenever we get back.
What's that like for you when Titans playing?
It's awesome. It's awesome, right? It's fun to see your kids fired up to be doing something, and
But can you be a dad? Can you just be a dad, and, you know, or do
I
you
are best you? Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't go out there. But right, I don't go out there. I get enough people telling me how to do my job. It's not my job to go tell somebody how to do theirs, right?
So, I'm not telling. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. But listen, good luck to you.
I wanted to go be a dad and watch him play, and then of course I'll give him a couple thoughts afterwards. But
good.
Go play football, son. Go have fun.
I love it. All right, have fun Saturday. I'll see you at the stadium. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks, John. Have a good one.
All right, there he goes. His favorite gangster movie, mobster movie, is Casino. I thought for sure he'd go Godfather 2. He's got a little Road to Perdition in there, too. He's got a little bit of a dark taste. Have you noticed that? All right, coming up, we have a lot to get to. We're going to give our picks for the weekend. The 5 at 5's coming up. We're going to lead you right into Thursday Night Football. Appreciate Jaden Robinson, Oregon State defensive back, Dan Lanning, Oregon coach, guests on today's show. Yesterday, we had Trent Bray, the Oregon State coach. Tomorrow, Nick Aliotti will be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour. I told Nick Aliotti I want him to be the last thing we hear before we get off into talking about the Civil War football game. He's going to be the last analysis of the game we get on a Friday. So Nick Aliotti in hour number 3 tomorrow. I want you to leave it here. You get the BFT.